This is On The Wire, Racing TV's podcast for the best racing previews in association with Bar One Racing.
Hello and welcome to On The Wire. It's an Epsom Oaks and Epsom Derby special, and it's Will Riley standing in for Johnny Mack today for Bar One Racing, as well as Fran Berry and Brendan Duke. We'll start with you, Will. How are you getting on? You look like you're basking in the sunshine there in the East Coast.
Yeah, it's beautiful sunshine here up in Dundalk, in fact. And really looking forward to this weekend's racing. Great to be with you all. And John McDonald, a hard act to follow, with the tip. So I'll do my best.
He's absolutely fine. Will's voice, Fran, reminds me of winter nights at Dundalk, that those dulcet tones in the parade ring welcoming in some winner that you hadn't backed.
indeed, Johnny. And by the time Dundalk gets going again, we'll have crowds back, or some sort of crowd. So we're making progress, and it'd be good to see Will back on site.
Not so much progress on the naps last weekend. Let's start with you, Juki. Baton Rouge labouring at fifth at 9-4.
Yes, it was a disappointing effort. I'd hope he's better than that. The form of his May 2nd has yet to be tested yet. We might find out more. Benno could be a project for a Royal Ascot handicap or something. But everything went fine. He was taken on for the lead by the ultimate winner, actually, the Star Harbour. But I don't think that was a big issue. He settled fine, travelled great at the top, and he turned into the straight, we're going to have a winner here. And they just flattened out. So a flat performance. Hopefully he's better than that. But back to the drawing board for me.
We'll mention a couple of strong, I think, Royal Ascot candidates who ran at Curra yesterday, presently. But getting to yours, Fran, no excuses heard for Adelisa Twos.
Yeah, look, disappointed she got beaten. She travelled really well into the race. Maybe a mile and a quarter stretched her, but no excuses. However, I'll redeem myself because she declared furless stall on Saturday in the 5:10 race over a mile. I haven't had that run recently going to the stall with a quick turnaround. I think she'll take beating on Saturday. So, look, we'll follow her again there.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer in right horse, wrong day as well, to be fair. Johnny Mack, two winners in a row, absolutely flying it with Albion Square win at 9-4. And apologies for my selection, Duel and Dancer, which I think was beaten about 30 lengths at Navan. And we obviously had another big gamble. Very interesting article from Richie Forrest, actually, in the race of Boast Day, about another David Dunn train gamble, which we'll talk about, I guess, in due course. An investigation into some of the massive improvements in form shown by some of the Dunn horses and others in Ireland recently. Interesting times, no less. But Fran, I just started with you at the Curra yesterday. The first two races, I thought, produced two absolutely exceptional forms from two-year-olds. And we spoke about Stallions as well. This is an Australia horse that won the first race that could be exceptionally exciting. And then obviously Gerline's horse travelled like the winner the whole way in the second race.
Yeah, the first race, that Point Lonsdale, he's a full brother to Broom, of course, who's, you know, borderline Derby winner one stage, lost his way last year and just got beaten in a Group 1 this year. And this is very, very good. Shane Heffernan was very keen, I'd say, to get him out and just get him rolling initially. But once he found his rhythm, he just got better and better the further it went. The last furlong was very taken. He's a proper horse. He's qualified for the Cheshire Stakes at Ascot. I wouldn't like to bet against him there, Johnny.
Yeah, and Dr. Zemph as well. This is a colt by Dark Angel, Duke. He probably has alternative engagements at Royal Ascot, which has travelled like a very, very smart horse. The one you wanted to be on the whole way in that EBF race.
Yeah, I'm not actually sure I did want to be on him the whole way, given how keen early he was. I thought he'd give plenty wrong on the race. Fran was talking about Point Lonsdale and how straightforward he was, and he looked a model professional. But I'd say that Dr. Zemph will improve a lot for the run now. I don't know whether Elliptic really came forward for her debut win. Again, I'm guessing, I'm just looking on the telly. Fran will be able to illuminate more on this, but she looks like quite a slight model on the television, and she might be a filly who didn't necessarily back up her debut. So I'm not convinced about the form, but certainly the visuals are very taking.
Fran?
Yeah, she's a real two-year-old. Whatever she does in the first half of the season, I think that'll be her, whatever level she's at. She had a penalty yesterday. She had a penalty and the experience, where Dr. Zemph had no penalty but no experience. And Dr. Zemph, very, very impressive, looked the part in a ring before and looked a real nice type. Trainer Gerline's text after race said that definitely not Royal Ascot. Quick turnaround, Railway Stakes at the end of the month back at the Curra. And he's a real prospect for that team. And he's bred to be, he costs 400 odd grand in the colours, the Sotsas to brand colours, but he's very smart.
Yeah, Jura rarely off the mark. Any repercussions in terms of the Royal Ascot markets there, Will, for these horses?
Yeah, Point Lonsdale, 5-2 for the Chesham and 25-1 for the Derby next year, but that's a long way off. And as Fran said there, Dr. Kemp will be going for the Railway Stakes. So we haven't priced that up, no.
Yeah, well, 5-2, you nearly wouldn't be. I know it sounds short, Fran, but I mean, that was a special performance. And obviously, the Chesham is a race that, you know, you're not going to get quite as much depth as some of the other races.
Sounds fair to me. If you got that on day, I'd take it, yeah.
That's fair enough. Let's get to the classics this weekend. We will discuss Ireland's card. We're recording this on Thursday, so we only have the declarations for Saturday in Ireland. I have my nap coming on Saturday, but let's get to the Kazoo Oaks. And there's only one place to start in terms of if you want to look for a winner of this race who might have repercussions for the Derby as well as the Oaks. This year, it was a brilliant, brilliant performance by Snow Fairy. Juki, you're the place to start here. You have your views in Santa Barbara. She's going to be a short enough price favourite, I would imagine. Ryan Moore takes the ride. She's drawn in 4. What's not to like? Or is there something not to like?
Well, there's an awful lot not to like. The fact that she was ranked keen in the 1,000 guineas. If she does that again, she won't stay. Because whatever about Camelot, she's by Camelot. Obviously, that will engender some stamina. But it's pretty pacey on the damp side. And if she pulls like that, she just won't stay. I mean, the Oaks is actually a more severe stamina test than the Derby because of the way Cooper sets the track up. He has it well watered for the Oaks and then lets it drive. I mean, I don't blame him at all because, I mean, what's he dealing with here? He's dealing with Brighton, basically, with better turf. So he has to have it well watered and a good cover of the grass. But the Oaks is a savage test. If she pulls like that, she won't get home. I'm not convinced about her coming down the hill and I'm not convinced what she'll do if she does manage to get through all of those travails, what she'll do when she comes off the bridle, because she does have a ropey old head carriage. So at 5-2, I'd certainly be happy to take her on.
Is it as enigmatic a track there, Fran, as Juki described? Is it a glorified Brighton with better ground?
Well, they used to have a derby trial at Brighton one time, you know, so that kind of says it all, their similarities. A far better surface, maybe not as undulating, and it actually rides well if you're traveling, and that's the thing about Epsom with any of them quirky tracks. If you jump and you're traveling well and you're in a position where you can control the race, most years in the Oaks or Derby you stop the video two and a half furlongs out and you said where's the winner, you can pick him out because he's usually the last one off the bridle, and that's the key to Epsom, is if you've got that cruising speed and balance just to negotiate the turns. But you get balanced by being traveling well within yourself. So it's probably why you need all the attributes to get home there, yeah.
5 Aidan O'Brien runners, how is this going to be run? And if you have this idea that Coolmore will set up the race as best they can for the most likely winner of the race, Santa Barbara, who obviously has miler pace, does this mean that it might be run at a muddling pace? I don't imagine it'll be run at a frantic pace. How do you see it?
I think it'll be a really good run race. I think it'll go along at a good gallop. The key, I suppose, with Ballydoyle pacemakers or perceived pacemakers now, is that the field followed them. They didn't follow them in the Dante. They didn't follow Emma McNamara last year in the Derby. And that's the key to how it'll play out. But Willow, my racing TV horse to follow for the year, thankfully is still 41 for the race. She'll probably make the running. And she might upgrade her form a little bit up and trip, but she's been disappointing. Divinely, that's been well backed with Shamey Heffernan. Yeah. That's interesting. Been off the track a long time. Going there, the more you look at it, Johnny, I think I agree with everything that Juki says about Santa Barbara, and you factor her price into account. I can't touch her. Happy to watch her. Snowfall just has the profile I want, being by deep impact, plenty of experience like Love going into the race last year that could step it up again, particularly if the ground is on the faster side.
What's the betting in terms of the Oaks? Well, it does look like she's going to go off a short price favourite, but this is a hard race to call, I think, betting-wise.
I must admit, I thought Santa Barbara would be stronger, particularly given what Aidan O'Brien had been saying about it. But she's 9-4. The 5-2 has now gone. Snowfall is 9-2, as Fran said there. That's a rock-solid middle-distance pedigree. And Zayada at 5-1. Tiona, who'll be racing in the first time, Hood is 11-2. Divinely, 10-1. Saffron Beach is 10-1, 12-1 bar. But I concur, I think, with what was said there, that Santa Barbara, I've got a feeling she might end up being a 10-furlong filly. Now, 10-furlong horses, if they've got sufficient class, can win a classic. But she's yet to prove that, hasn't she? Although she's clearly talented.
What do you like, Ned?
I like Snowfall. I think it's a middle-distance pedigree. She's won one of the key trials, and she looks a nicely balanced filly. I think at 9-2, that's I think I can see her shortening anyway.
Could you see Tiona reversing the form with her, Juki, considering how free she was last time? She's obviously, she was a short, far shorter price in the day as well, by See the Stars. You wouldn't expect stamina to be an issue, presuming that she settles better. David Egan's had big race success already this year.
Yeah, but why would she settle better? She's been ranked keen. She's been ranked keen every time she's gone to the track. I think she'll put
first time hold.
This is another varying ramp. I mean, they that stable, they think all their geese are swans. I would just I don't like backing Roger Varian horses anyway, and I certainly won't be backing her, because with her, the authorized is strong. There's more authorized in her than See the Stars, in my opinion.
What wins it?
Well, I'm not gone on the race. However, I do want to take on a horse who's taken out 30% of the market. So I have to have a bet. So I'm going to back two. I'm going to back Snowfall, because again, I know she had the run of the race in New York, but I was really impressed with how she ran through the line. And I do slightly disagree with Fran. I think that they'll just jump her out in front. And the only real obvious competition for the lead is Dubai Fountain. And I think Ballydoyle would be happy enough with that for Snowfall to be let loose in front. And the horse I'm backing as a saver is Dubai Fountain, who beat Zayada in Chester. And there seems to be a school of thought that Zayada was unlucky. She was held up in a run all right, but I thought Dubai Fountain put the race to bed and won snug enough in the end with her ears pricked. 12-1. Again, I think maybe being on the pace might be the place to be on Friday. So they're my two against the field.
It is a bit mad, Fran, when you look at the O'Brien horse in the race. Willow's by an American stallion, American Pharaoh. Snowfall's by a Japanese stallion and Deep Impact. Santa Barbara's by a GB-based stallion at the time, Camelot. La Gioconda's by Frankel. And then you've only the one horse by Galileo Divinely. There are a lot of aspects to the race I just can't see a bet.
Yeah, look, I'd be with Juki. I think you'd be playing one at shorter type odds, like the likes of Snowfall, and pick something else at double figure odds. And look, if Santa Barbara is the second coming and she does deliver, best luck to them. But at the odds, I think there's enough negatives to her. The breeding is fascinating, isn't it? And we'll speak about the Derby as well on Saturday. Galileo, See the Stars, Frankel are the three dominant sires in it. And you see it out a bit in the Oaks. And, 10 years on from what Frankel and See the Stars done, it's great to see. And Galileo, of course, is there again.
Yeah, one of whom is the Memory Lane this time for the Kazoo Derby. Who would forget the performance that he produced under Michael Canaan? I was going to say all those years ago, it is quite some time ago now. Here's See the Stars.
Here's See the Stars, pulled on for Neffin. Down the outside, Fame and Glory. It's sound now. See the Stars, who takes it up with a full on to go. He goes a length up now. Crying hard, Fame and Glory from Golden Sword. And Rip Van Winkle, but See the Stars is going to win the Guineas and Derby Double. Goes on to win it well. Fame and Glory is second. Tight third. Master of the Horses.
Barwon Racing are enhancing the show price favourites at Listowel this Saturday and Sunday. Check out barwonracing.com for full details on our weekend offers.
Just going to get to two form, key form aspects to the race as well, which is actually the Darnstone Stud Derby trial and the Irish Guineas, which we'll show now. You can talk over this, Fran. This performance here by Bolshoi Ballet was absolutely spectacular visually. I now have a problem with this race, though, in the sense that Aidan Dunnock O'Brien's horse, who was third, nearly finished second on the day, doesn't run in the Derby. And obviously, the performance of the second at the Curry yesterday, I don't know, I'd be a little bit concerned. I just thought he should have shown up a bit better than that. And it does just cast some doubts, which I think Juki's already expressed maybe about the Darnstone form.
Yeah, Loch Derg, he just looked slow last night, didn't he? And never really travelled around the Curra. Fernando Vici runs today at Leopardstown Thursday. And the one that was going to be second, I feel, is Southern Lights. He runs in the Derby for Aidan Joseph, and Declan McDonough taking a ride. Loch Derg picked up the pieces on that occasion. Southern Lights, I think, would have been a good second, but you can't get away from how good Bolshoi Ballet was. That side-on shot on Racing TV where Ryan let him, when he kicked off the bend, the way he got down and got himself organised to lengthen and pick up, he just looked so fluent and so balanced. And the way he stepped it up against the same horses from the Ballysacks to Durrenstown, that progress, he's on the right plane. And I think it says it all when early running one horse this year.
Yeah, because that's interesting, Juki, because I remember when we spoke to Aidan O'Brien on this podcast a few weeks ago, he didn't seem to have any issue with running a small number of horses in the Derby, and he said, like, tactically it'd be grand. High definition, obviously, a late scratching. He's had a bit of an abridged campaign, but it's effectively a kind of a nod to the fact that this horse is tactically versatile. We've no issue with him getting a mile and a half. He settles. He's a turn of foot. To me, he almost looks the complete racehorse. But he looked a complete racehorse against the likes of Loch Derg the last day. He was disappointed at the Curragh. So I guess negatives and pros as well.
Yeah, the price is kind of unbelievable to me that he's this short. I understand it's Aidan in the race, but it's a lot to do with times, isn't it? Because as far as I'm concerned, Bolshoi Ballet hasn't beaten a good horse. But the time in the Derrenstown did have the clock watcher salivating, because in a very strongly run race, he managed to run the last two furlongs only slightly, sorry, like a half a length slower than Joan of Arc, who was obviously running over two furlongs shorter and is a classy filly. So you like the visuals, the time boys like it. It's just at the price, Johnny. He hasn't beaten a good horse for me, and maybe I'm not paying enough attention to the time. He's a very straightforward horse. He's a great head carriage. He's tactically versatile. He'll definitely relish the trip. And he should love the stamina test in Epsom, but I just couldn't have him at that price.
Just a look at Max Sweeney here winning the Irish Guineas, obviously, a couple of weeks ago. Jim Bull throws him straight into a classic 2 weeks later, completely different test. My issue with this, Fran, is the fact that he's no form on decent ground that gives him any chance here, not to mind the fact that a mile and a half for me looks a bit of an imponderable.
Yeah, and that's the thing. He's a proper mudlark, but he's proper excels with a cut in the ground, testing conditions. The only thing on the flip side of that, will an extra half a mile bring him into it on the ground?
Negate it,
if you like. So that's the thing. We won't know unless he goes there in top form as a dual Group 1 winner. There's no other runner, I think, in the field that has actually won a Group 1, have they? And he's won two of them. So, look, Jim Bulger, Epsom, you definitely can't discount it. But for me, the ground is more of a negative than anything else.
Bullet to the head, Will. Does this horse go off odds on? And what is the betting at the moment?
Well, he's 5-4 at the moment. I must admit, I thought when High Definition came out, he would go a shade of odds on. But he's 5-4 at the moment. Max Sweeney is 7-1, so is Moha Feth and John Leaper. Hurricane Lane 8-1, third round 12-1. He came down the hill very well, I thought, at Lingfield, but then he kind of hung a bit in the straight. So how he's going to deal with that camber, because it is a pretty severe camber up the home straight there, and quite an uphill finish as well. So how he handles that, I'm not quite sure. Hey, look, for me, it's Bolshoi Ballet. I think he is most definitely the one to beat. Max Sweeney, yes, he's won a couple of Group 1s and he's obviously a very talented horse. But I thought he was just starting to hang in the closing stages of the Irish Guineas. So he was going to towards the end of what he was capable of giving at that point. So maybe this will come a little too soon. I don't know. And I wouldn't question Jim Bulger's judgment, but there is only one Derby, isn't there? Just one thing, Johnny, that it's amazing, isn't it? In 2014, Aidan O'Brien became the first trainer ever in the race's history to win it three times in a row. And if Bolshoi Ballet wins on Saturday, he'll have done it again. Extraordinary.
It is extraordinary. And just, Juki, what are the angles in the race against the favourite? We spoke about Frankel and how he's going to get on at stud. Frankel has four horses in the Derby here. Three of them are single-figure prices, which is fascinating. Mm. And this could be his day of deliverance in terms of a proper classic winner. John Leaper, obviously, I think this is a great, just a lovely story if he were to win out of Snow Fairy, obviously. Then you have Hurricane Lane, Adyar as well. And Mahafet, who was obviously produced an absolutely spectacular performance last time at Newmarket, stepping up in trip. Lots of dangers against this favourite if he were to underperform, or just isn't as good as people think he is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of in a process of elimination. I like that John Leaper, the horse that you like. He reminds me a lot of Snow Fairy with his head carriage, but he's just far too keen. I thought it was quite significant that Ed Dunlop said that it's the owner's dream to run in the Derby. I don't think he wants to run the horse in this race at all, and I don't blame him. He puts me in mind a lot of Telecaster. Remember Telecaster ran a couple of years ago? And he just wasn't mentally ready for it. So I'm putting a line through John Leaper. I'm putting a line through Max Sweeney and Hurricane Lane, because I think they both need soft ground. I'm not gone on that third round, but that might be my anti-Varian bias. So that leaves me with none other than Moha Feth. William Haggis is a trainer. I'm a massive fan of his. My boy Haggis knows exactly what he has. He knew he had a potential Derby horse. but he didn't leave a handicap behind him off a mark of 85. Now, I actually didn't think Crowley gave him a great ride that day because he didn't get the horse any cover, and I didn't think he learned much. But he redeemed himself in a four-runner race a couple of weeks later back at Newmarket because he did manage to get the horse to settle, which I think will stand to him on Saturday. Now, Secret Protector, the second, is rated 107. I'm not sure he's worth 107, and he almost certainly didn't run to it. But the third horse is a half sort of promising horse, three-year-old late developer out of Stout. So I think the form has a bit of substance to it. And the Moha Effect, he's such an interesting horse because he's not actually a great mover. He's a slightly scratchy action, but he just handled the dip so well. I mean, so I think he'd be fine on the undulations here. Travels like a monster. Should stay this trip, should really relish this trip. Fran mentioned how important it is to travel on this track. So Moha Effect each way for me.
And he's a fascinating runner as well, on pedigree, as well as the fact he steps up and just the way he travels in his race as well. He doesn't have an awful lot to find on ratings, which are obviously questionable anyway, with the favourite. And Jim Crowley will have high hopes for a Derby win here.
He would, and William Haggis' record too in the Derby is fantastic. Duke, you might know the stats, but of course he won it with Shamit, his first ever runner, and he had a horse in the yellow colours, ran very well a couple of years ago in the Vestec colours, and anything he runs in Epsom in them good race you have to take note of. And yeah, I'd be with Juki. If you're looking for one, I think him at the price is over the likes of John Leaper and Hurricane Lane and a few others. He's the one I pick out at that band of priced horse. I think John Leaper is very interesting, but I'd be with Juki, and I think he's more for the longer term than Saturday.
It's very interesting. A strong personality from, let's just say, a rival station. I thought this was really interesting, Will. He said the Derby is a bit like the boat race in the FA Cup. It had its day. It isn't what it is. I did find that a little bit over the top, in the sense of maybe the Derby doesn't make stallions as much, you know, as in yesteryear, and you want to win the Guineas. Although I'd argue that winning the Guineas doesn't necessarily make you a stallion either. But the Derby still, I think, is a special race. John Gosden has spoken about, I know Sir Mark Prescott spoke about, particularly the fact that, you know, one stable is winning it too often. But for me, it's still a special race, and Aidan O'Brien ain't going to win it forever.
It's a tremendous race. I mean, Federico Tezio said, didn't he, the great Italian breeder and racehorse trainer, that the development of the thoroughbred revolves around a piece of wood, and that's the winning post at Epsom. Now, I know in the Racing Post this week, there was a piece from John Cobb who kind of poured a little bit of scorn on that. No, this is a very, very special race. It tests a horse balance, its agility, its temperament, its speed, its stamina. It tests just about everything in a racehorse. And if you can pull that all together over a mile and a half, and there's all the razzmatazz going on at Epsom as well, you've got a good horse. Now, I know the form of the race doesn't always work out, but by golly, when we get a good Derby winner, they're very special, aren't they? So it's a very, very important race.
And arguably, Juki, in a way, it's in some respects, it's a better race than Aidan only has one runner, if that makes sense.
Well, it may help them, in fairness, if the horse were to be very unfortunate and draw the one box, at least there's only 12 runners, so it's less significant. The significant thing about the one draw is the amount of numbers and the amount of horses that are coming across when they move. They first move right and then they move left. And the problem, and Fran would be able to illuminate this more, but the problem I noticed with the horses drawn one is they always jump left out of the stall. Well, almost always. Kingston Hill didn't, but 90% of the time, they jump left out of the stalls. They lose a length. And then you have to decide, am I going to gun the horse uphill? You're basically running up the side of a cliff face early. Do I have to gun him uphill to get a position and compromise my finishing effort? Or do I drop in and then get cut off when they come across? So it's really difficult. But if there's only 12 runners, it becomes less of a lottery then.
Let's get to the nap. So, and if it is an Irish selection, good and well, starting with you, Juki.
It is an Irish selection running in England. So Japan is a horse I have a complex relationship with, because I thought he was going to be so much better as a four-year-old than a three-year-old. And then by the end of his four-year-old campaign, I thought this horse isn't trying a leg. I was amazed Aidan didn't try to use some headgear on him. We know his penchant for that, but he didn't. I had Japan backed Anti-Post for the Arc from earlier in the season, and I was lucky to get my money back in the end, but whole food thing. But he looked a whole lot sweeter in Chester. I thought he traveled beautiful in Chester, really enjoyed it. He was getting weight off Trushan, but over a mile and 6 foot cutting the ground, I think that was still a fair effort. And I think he was valued for more than three quarters of a length. And significantly, I cannot find any pace in the Coronation Cup. Now, Japan is not a habitual front runner, but I think Aidan and Ryan are going to knock heads here and say, we're not turning down this softly. A very dangerous horse to get let loose on the lead. I respect Al Azzi. But a 10 to 11, he beat Thunderous the last day, who's kind of a never horse, Logician, who may be a yesterday horse. I can take on Al Azzi at 10 to 11 with Japan and a soft lead.
Love that race. Fran, your nap?
I will give Alyssa mentioning the 5-10 in the stall just to redeem herself from last week. Johnny, first of all, and I'm going to give you a double if everyone's prepared to be patient. I'll go Bolche Ballet, even at his current odds of 5-4, and along with High Definition in the Ledger, which pays about 12-13-1 at the minute. And I think High Definition, if he was to win the Irish Derby, he'd be 2-1 a day in the Ledger, and it'd be a bit of interest through the rest of the summer.
Yeah, I should have done that double. I was actually thinking of doing that double months and months ago, and of course, haven't done either of them.
I done last week.
Yeah, well, we'll take that. Standing in for Johnny Mac, Will Riley, your nap.
Well, he's a hard act to follow, but I'm going to go with Snowfall in the Oaks at the prices and the fact that we're paying four places in the race as well, Johnny.
So, excellent.
I'm going to go for Snowfall. And Dukey mentioned an Irish horse running in England. How about Only Spoofing in the Dash? Has got a good draw on Saturday at 3:45. Could go well.
Absolutely. Yeah, and Only Spoofing has had time in England as well. My nap is going to be in the John Thomas McNamara Division 2, 4:40. Justino dropping back to the mile at Listowel. 4:40, I think, is a massive chance to win two rock solid races the last twice. Thanks a million, lads.
Thanks, Johnny. Thanks, lads.
Have a good one.
Thank you.
And best of luck in the Oaks, the Derby, and wherever you have your bets this weekend.
Thank you for tuning in to On the Wire Racing TV's podcast, brought to you in association with Bar One Racing. And if you enjoyed the show, don't forget to leave a review. Give us a like and subscribe so you don't miss the next episode. And this podcast is available on video format in all its glory on YouTube. And you'll also find us on racingtv.com and on audio at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and numerous other platforms. Don't forget, if you are having a bet this weekend following any of our selections or so on, gamble responsibly and do visit begambleaware.org for more information.